This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Noel Rowe grew up in Cincinnati, worked at the Cincinnati Zoo as a young man, and his family has a long history of supporting the local environment. In fact, Rowe Woods at the Cincinnati Nature Center is named after his grandfather. For his adult life, Noel Rowe has worked diligently for the protection of primates. And he, as he tells the Cincinnati Zoo's Thane Maynard, his organization, Primate Conservation Incorporated, still has work to do.
Hi, Noel. It's Thane Maynard here.
Hi there. How are you?
Very well. Thanks for taking a few minutes with us.
Sure.
You know, it's been fun to learn a little bit more about your work. I think I mentioned for years I've had your initial book, The Pictorial Guide to All the World's Primates. But I know in talking with you and emailing, you've been very busy. You've got some new products out that are electronic, but quite extensive. Tell us about those.
Yes, we have an e-book that's all the world's lemurs, lorises, bush babies, and pottos. It's a long title, but you get the point that it's all the prosimians. And we also have All the World's Apes ebook. And the main product is a website, which is you have access to by a donation to my organization, Primate Conservation Incorporated. And it's called alltheworldsprimates.com. No spaces in between and no apostrophe. And that is a comprehensive resource about monkeys and apes that has audio and video and lots of information that's very up-to-date. Over 230 contributors that are experts in the field have written the information. So it's a great resource. And in 2016, we'll have another book called All the World's Primates, the book, and that will be available. I've been working on that for 10 years now, but we got distracted with the websites and the ebooks. But as we get a group done, we put out an ebook. So.
Well, it's a great way to do it because you can certainly reach more people and they can access it. And as you said, with so many contributors, as information might change or adapt, say about current ranges or their status, their conservation status, you could change that. But so give us a picture a bit about doing this work. Is a lot of it that you've been involved in primatology your adult life and you know the other researchers and they just send it to you? Or is it you out in a forest somewhere trying to get a picture of a bamboo lemur?
A little of both. The fun part is trying to go out and find the lemur or the monkey in the forest and take its pictures. But these days the cameras are so much easier to use and so much better that the researchers who are out there, you know, much more time than a photographer can be there, you know, and are out of the day that they come down close, get good pictures now. So I'm spending a little less time trying to get pictures than I used to. But I know a lot of the people in the field, partly because Primate Conservation Incorporated has been giving grants for 20 years now to field projects that study the least known and most endangered primates in their natural habitat. And so I know a lot of the young researchers that are out there doing the work and have just finished doing the work and gotten their PhDs, and they're part of the project. The goal of Primate Conservation Incorporated is to get more people like Jane Goodall out there dedicated to saving primates in their natural habitat.
Absolutely. Now, tell us a bit about how you and your organization sort of evolved. And I ask that because, of course, I believe you grew up here in Cincinnati.
I did. I worked at the Cincinnati Zoo in the Children's Zoo in 1967 for $1.25 an hour, which was minimum wage back then.
I believe it.
So it shows how things haven't changed that much, unfortunately. But anyway, I always went to the zoo. My mother took me to the zoo. I loved the primates. And then after college, my sister was a travel agent at the time, and she said, well, you should look at Earthwatch. And Earthwatch is an organization where people pay to help scientific research, and not only do they help with financially, but they help with collecting the data. And the first project I signed up with was in Madagascar to study the ring-tailed lemur and the Varroa chiffak. So that was the start of my learning about monkeys, and from there I eventually decided I'd better learn a little more, and I went back to graduate school, and I then took a trip back to Madagascar, and I really saw firsthand, you know, a forest that was destroyed for money, you know, just to cut the trees and plant crops by a rich man who just hired the poor people. It wasn't for subsistence or anything. And so I realized how, you know, I have to get involved. I can't, you know, I've seen it now. This is not in National Geographic. This is right here. That's when I hatched the idea of getting more people involved through Primate Conservation Incorporated.
Well, your family has a long history with nature. I know that yours was the family initially involved to help establish the Sensei Nature Center and Roe Woods, where it stays today. And so here's to that, as well as this long work with primates. But as you
my grandfather was a great inspiration.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, as you and I had commented back and forth setting up this interview, we also live in a challenging time where a huge amount of interest in protecting primates, certainly more money and effort than ever, more researchers than ever. And yet, man alive, you mentioned Madagascar. I mean, there's probably nowhere in the world any more threatened than the habitat in Madagascar. What's the future look like, you think, Noel?
That's a tough one. Humans are ever-expanding population, which really we have to get control of. Then there's climate change, which is on the horizon, which is going to throw a monkey wrench in all of our efforts. But the main hope, as far as I see it, is local people getting involved in protecting their own environment and saving their own species and understanding that their forest standing and active and with all its animals in it is worth much more than whatever the short-term gain of cutting it down for timber, you know, a few more acres of farmland. Although it's hard for humans to think longer term like that, that's the hope, is that humans finally come to the realization that the natural world supports us and sustains us, and that without it, we are not going to have much left to enjoy or to have ecosystem services like water in the dry season and tourists to come to buy our local products or whatever.
Absolutely. And, you know, thinking of your work in primatology, it has to be an interesting time to be in that field, because just the numbers of species, some are newly discovered, some have through DNA, you've been able to not create more species, but certainly have a better understanding and sometimes increase the number of separate species.
Exactly. Yeah, no, actually, it's the golden age of taxonomy at the moment. Our knowledge of our phylogeny, of where species came from and how they evolved, has just changed dramatically in all over, not just in primates, but in through plants, everything. The genetics has told us how they're really related to each other, rather than, well, they look alike, so they must be alike. But yes, primates are a special case, to me at least. I know them best, and there are now more than twice as many species as there were in 1967 when I published the Pictorial Guide to the Living Primates. So it's a much bigger task to put them all in the same book, but it's very exciting to find out new species. I just found out about a new one that will be published soon from Brazil. That's a Calicebus, a titi monkey. So it's still happening. That's a brand new species they didn't know anything about. It wasn't a case of the genetics. So the genetics proves it, but I think this species was just not known before.
I was going to say, it sounds like it's a good thing your new book's coming out in a year or two if there's twice as many species.
And that's one of the reasons I've sort of held off getting it quite done, because once it's done, it's done. And I knew there was a whole group of Pathecia, which are Saki monkeys, who have white faces and dark bodies. I knew that revision was coming, so there are now 9 new species of that one. So I didn't want to publish
great.
A book before that came out.
Well, listen, thanks for the work you're doing. And thanks for taking some time with us. I look forward to meeting you next time you're in Cincinnati, and we'll certainly want to have you sometime come give a talk at the Cincinnati Zoo in our conservation lecture series, because the tie, as you had said, of people being involved in their local community, whether that's here in Ohio or it's all the way off to Madagascar, that's where hope for the future is.
That's for sure. I would be happy to do that. And I hope more people get involved, more people adopt a species, whether it's monkeys or mole rats or monarch butterflies and plant their back garden so that there are native plants in it that creates habitat for birds and insects. There's a lot to be done, and more people have to be involved to turn this all around.
Absolutely. Well, Noel Rowe, thanks for being with us. I'll look forward to seeing you hopefully in the coming year. My guest has been Noel Rowe, head of the group Primate Conservation Incorporated. For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Thane Maynard.
Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our programs are available at WVXU.org. The producer for today's show was Pete Reitmeier, with help from Kevin Reynolds. The assistant producer was Belinda Kai, and the technical director was Kevin Rawinski. I'm Mark Haney. Stay tuned for Science Friday, coming up next on 91.7 WVXU. In 2013, Kentucky ranked worst in the nation for child homelessness, and the number of sheltered individuals in Boone, Kenton, and Campbell counties increased by more than 60% last year. On the next Cincinnati Edition, we'll look at how communities in northern Kentucky are working to reduce homelessness. And in Focus on Technology, we'll hear how your plants may eventually be able to power your electronic devices. That's Cincinnati Edition, Monday afternoon at 1 on 91.7 WVXU.